Timeless Tales for Kids, written by E. Nesbitt, Charles Dickens, Lewis Carroll, and Rudyard Kipling, and read by Alistair McGowan, Olivia Colman, Bill Nighy, Luke Evans, Russell Tovey, Elizabeth McGovern, and Dominic Cooper.
The Jungle Book by Rudyard Kipling, read by Alistair McGowan. It was 7 o'clock of a very warm evening in the Seeonee Hills when Father Wolf woke up from his day's rest, scratched himself, yawned, and spread out his paws one after the other to get rid of the sleepy feeling in their tips. Mother Wolf lay with her big grey nose dropped across her 4 tumbling, squealing cubs, and the moon shone into the mouth of the cave where they all lived.
"Ah,"
said Father Wolf, "it is time to hunt again." He was going to spring downhill when a little shadow with a bushy tail crossed the threshold and whined.
"Good luck go with you, O Chief of the Wolves, and good luck and strong white teeth go with noble children, that they may never forget the hungry in this world."
It was the jackal, Tabaqui, the dish licker, and the wolves of India despise Tabaqui because he runs about making mischief and telling tales and eating rags and pieces of leather from the village rubbish heaps.
"Enter then and look," said Father Wolf stiffly. "But there is no food here."
"For a wolf, no," said Tabaqui. "But for so mean a person as myself, a dry bone is a good feast. Who are we, the jackal people, to pick and choose?"
He scuttled to the back of the cave, where he found the bone of a buck with some meat on it, and sat cracking the end merrily.
"All thanks for this good meal," he said, licking his lips. "Oh, and by the way, Shere Khan, the big one, has shifted his hunting grounds. He will hunt among these hills for the next moon, so he has told me."
Shere Khan was the tiger who lived near the Waingunga River, 20 miles away.
"He has no right,"
Father Wolf began angrily.
"By the law of the jungle, he has no right to change his quarters without due warning. He will frighten every head of game within 10 miles, and I have to kill for 2 these days."
"His mother did not call him the lame one for nothing," said Mother Wolf quietly. "He has been lame in one foot from his birth. That is why he has only killed cattle. Now the villages of the Waingunga are angry with him, and he has come here to make our villages angry. They will scour the jungle for him when he is far away, and we and our children must run when they set the grass alight. Oh yes, we are very grateful to Shere Khan, for we are the ones who will suffer."
"Shall I tell him of your gratitude?" said Tabaqui.
"Out," snapped Father Wolf. "Out, and hunt with your master. You've done harm enough for one night."
"I go," said Tabaqui quietly. "You can hear Shere Khan below in the thickets." And with that, he left.
Father Wolf listened, and below in the valley that ran down to a little river, he heard the dry, angry, snarly, sing-song whine of a tiger who has caught nothing and does not care if all the jungle knows it.
"The fool," said Father Wolf, "to begin a night's work with that noise. Does he think that our buck are like his fat Waingunga bullocks?
Shh! It is neither bullock nor buck he hunts tonight," said Mother Wolf. "It is man."
"Man,"
said Father Wolf, showing all his white teeth.
"Are there not enough beetles and frogs in the tanks that he must eat man? And on our ground, too."
Now, the law of the jungle, which never orders anything without a reason, forbids every beast to eat man, except when he is killing to show his children how to kill. And then he must hunt outside the hunting grounds of his pack or tribe. The real reason for this is that man-killing means, sooner or later, the arrival of white men on elephants with guns, and hundreds of brown men with gongs and rockets and torches. Then everybody in the jungle suffers. The purr grew louder, and ended in the full-throated of the tiger's charge. Then there was a howl, an untigerish howl from Shere Khan.